It's been a very, very hectic schedule since we returned from Israel. And quite honestly, I haven't had opportunity to spend the time and study that I would have liked. But it is what it is, and Isaiah is before us. We're in chapter 10, verse 20 is where we're starting. If you turn with me there, again, I encourage you, bring your Bible so that you can mark and make notes yourself also. We do put it up on the screen if you don't have it, but it's always good to have it so you can write some notes and keep track of where we're at and bring up questions if I don't deal with something, because we take some pretty good-sized chunks. If we don't deal with something that you want me to talk about, well, if you don't mark it down, you're going to forget. Okay? So let's pray, and then let's read God's Word. Father, we thank you for your Word, and we ask right now that you would send your Holy Spirit to give us understanding, Lord, that as we read the Word, we might not have worldly understanding and understanding of man, but instead may we, your Holy Spirit, give us supernatural understanding. Might we hear directly from you. And Lord, show us how we can apply this to our lives and how your word of here some 3,000 years ago, Lord, how can this affect us here today? Lord, show us how it's as fresh and new today as it was the day it was spoken. Heavenly Father, I pray for your anointing upon myself, that as I come to preach, that your Holy Spirit would be upon me and that I would speak empowered in truth. Father, I pray that each person who hears this word would be encouraged and blessed. But most of all, Lord, that your name would be lifted up and glorified. Bless your people now. Be here amongst us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read Isaiah chapter 10, verse 20. In that day, the remnant of Israel, the survivors of the house of Jacob, will no longer rely on him who struck them down, but will truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. A remnant will return. A remnant of Jacob will return to the mighty God. Through your people, O Israel, be like the sand by the sea. Only a remnant will return. Destruction has been decreed. Overwhelming and righteous, the Lord Almighty, will carry out the destruction decreed upon the whole land. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty says. O my people who live in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrians, who beat you with a rod and lift up a club against you, as Egypt did. Very soon my anger against you will end, and my wrath will be directed to their destruction. The Lord Almighty will lash them with a whip, as when he struck down Midian at the rock of Oreb, and he will raise up his staff over the waters as he did in Egypt. In that day their burden will be lifted from your shoulders, their yoke from your neck. The yoke will be broken, because you have grown so fat. My better translation might be broken from your shoulders there. Okay. They enter Aoth. They pass through Migron. They store supplies at Michmash. They go over the pass and say, we will camp overnight at Geba. Rema trembles. Gibeah of Saul flees. Cry out, O daughter of Gilead. Listen, O Laasha, poor Anathah. Madamia is in the flight. The people of Gibeon take cover. This day they will halt at Nob. They will shake their fist at the mount of the daughter of Zion at the hill of Jerusalem. See, the Lord Almighty, will lop off the boughs with great power. The lofty trees will be felled. The tall ones will be brought low. He will cut down the forest thickets with an axe. Lebanon will fall before the mighty one. Amen. God's Word. What's it telling us? What does it have for us today? It's talking about something that happened 3,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago, a long time ago. Who can remember what happened yesterday? Look in today's news. It's old news. If it happened more than 48 hours ago, We're so convinced about and so focused on what happened now and what's going to happen in the next instant that we often forget that what happened in the past can give us wisdom about what's going to happen in the future and does affect what's going to happen. Here it's talking about in that day. In that day is the phrase that means in the day of judgment. And speaking of the remnant of the house of Israel, the survivors of the house of Jacob. Now, the interesting thing I found here when I read this is that the survivors of the house of Jacob will no longer rely on him who struck them down. See, they were relying on the Assyrians for protection. Originally, they had been relying on the Egyptians. They kept relying on anybody and everybody but God. Said, protect us from this other group. They sought human alliance, human options, the wisdom of man to try to deal with their lives. And you say, well, that makes sense. I mean, it wasn't a spiritual problem that they're dealing with, Pastor. They had armies coming against them. You know, you just don't pray against that. You know, you have to make some political alliances. No. God is the Almighty God. He's the one who originally sent them before. You know, back like 8 months ago when I read the passage before this, because it feels like that since I preached in Isaiah. But what was it? I think it was somewhere at the beginning of October, last time I was there. But we look at this and what we saw there, that it was God who sent the agents of destruction against, because God was directing these people against Israel. Why? Because Israel was in sin. They were God's instrument of wrath, of discipline. So it was a spiritual problem. It just had a physical manifestation. See, the problem was the people of Israel weren't following God. They weren't relying on God. Who were they relying on? Themselves and other people. They weren't saying, God, protect us. God, take care of us. God, what is it that we need to do to follow you? That wasn't what they were doing. No. What were they doing? Oh, people of Assyria, help us out. Oh, people of Israel, help us out. They're playing one against the other, trying to protect themselves with man's wisdom and politics. Politics to help you? Please. You're looking to politics for your solution? Don't go there. Go to God. God is where our help is. And that's what he says here. Is that they will no longer rely on him who struck them down, but will truly rely on the Lord. A lot of the problems that we have today is because we aren't relying on the Lord. We're relying on man. Are you truly trusting in God? I mean, that doesn't absolve you of doing your part. God tells us to do, but he tells us to go to him and to follow him in his direction and to do his will, to not worship other gods, to honor our mother and father, to love one another. These are his commands to us. If we're doing what it is he's directed us, as our Lord, it is his obligation, his part of the equation, to protect and care for us. Okay, but because the people of Israel hadn't been, judgment had been decreed. They had to learn a lesson. The punishment was going to happen. And it would hurt. Punishments do. Ones that are effective. A punishment that somebody enjoys really isn't a punishment. Now is it? It's a reward. God isn't rewarding Israel. He is punishing them for what reason? Not just to cause pain and hurt, but to change their direction. Which is why a parent punishes a child. If you want the child to behave differently, you don't reward the child. You punish the child. That is love. It is one aspect of it. The remnant will return. The return to the mighty God. Time after again, through this passage, we are reminded that God is the one who is mighty. He is the mighty, the almighty. He is the Lord Almighty. And it is He who will carry out the destruction decreed upon the whole land. He's the one carrying it out. It says, my people live in Zion. Do not be afraid of the Assyrians. Okay? They may have been the instrument of discipline, but don't be afraid of them. We should not be afraid of the instrument of discipline, but instead we should be afraid of the one who wields the instrument of discipline. Because the instrument is just a tool. Just a tool. For good or bad. The tool isn't good or bad. It's just a tool. It's the one who wields it. Who's in control. And is delivering whatever intent is. God's intent upon wielding the instrument of Assyria against Israel was to get Israel's attention and cause them to change their ways because they were ungodly. They were God's chosen people, yet they were worshiping idols. Yet they were not living godly lives. We, the church, are now filling that role of being God's chosen people. We have been engrafted branches into God's body. We are engrafted into the vine, and where Christ is the very root. We're part of that. So now, who should we be afraid of? Don't be afraid of Assyria, the tool. We should be afraid of not doing what it is that God has directed us to do. We've received Jesus as Lord and Savior. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to follow God. He says, very soon my anger against you will end and my wrath will be destructed to their destruction. So that which was used to bring harm will actually be destroyed. The Lord Almighty will lash them with a whip. When he struck down Oreb, he will raise up his staff over the waters as he did in Egypt. What happened to our army of Egypt as it went to cross the Red Sea? It was washed away through the hand of God. We have a list of cities here and these people fleeing and the army's coming here. See, these are the people arrayed to the north of Jerusalem in these little villages. You know, there are hills all over Israel. We saw the pictures today. You saw all these hills everywhere. The land goes like this. On each one of these hills, you know, you got this little village all over the place. You got all these little villages, small ones. And each group is set up on the hill so they can see if somebody's coming at them, again, for protection, whatnot. But they're up there. And these are where those who had been coming against them, they came there first, coming against Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is going to stand. He says, don't worry about them. This day they will halt at Nob. They will shake their fist at the mount of the daughter of Zion at the hill of Jerusalem. See, the Lord Almighty, will lop off the boughs with great power. Lebanon, the country to the north where these people were coming from, was recognized for being full of forests, great cedars. And he said, I'm going to fell all the trees. Now at the time, they would have said, well, that's crazy. That's like saying, I'm going to take an axe and I'm going to go up to the Boundary Waters and I'm going to knock down all the trees up there. Anybody ever been up to the Boundary Waters? Seen all the trees up there? Where's the thickest forest that you've ever seen? Think of that. And huge area of forests, of mountains. Okay, it's not easy going and saying, and God's saying, I'm going to take an axe and I'm going to cut all these trees down. I'm going to lop off all the balls. I'm going to cut all these trees down. And this place is going to be desolate. Look at Lebanon today. What does it look like? Desolate. It's occurred. He says, you don't need to be afraid of these people because I am going to bring my wrath against them. What does that mean? What's not said here is almost as important as what is said in this section, is that God is the one that's in control. It said earlier, it follows and says later, God is the one who is wielding this destruction, and we don't need to be afraid because they will truly rely on the Lord. Okay? If we turn from our wicked ways, if we turn from relying on anybody and everybody except God, or maybe we'll even throw God in there as kind of a mishmash to cover all our bases. It doesn't work that way. We can rely on God and God alone, and we don't need to be afraid. Or we can rely on man and the world and our own devices, and we should be shaking in our boots. That's as real today as it was when it was spoke. That's what he was telling the remnant there. That's what he's telling us here. We need to rely on God. He is the Lord Almighty. He is bringing his destruction. It is coming. But we don't need to be afraid if we're relying on him. But if we're not relying on him, we have cause for concern. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you today, Lord, that you have blessed us with it, and that it's here each and every day. Father, help us to truly lean on you always. Lord, to put our trust in you in all things at all times. Might we realize that at the root of what's going on is the spiritual dimension. Father, might we look at our lives and see what is it in our lives that we need to change to walk with you? What is it that we need to do so that we can best follow you each and every day, that we need not be afraid of what you're going, of your hand, because you will stand and protect those who follow you. But destruction is the future of those, not just earthly physical destruction, but eternal destruction for those who stand against you. Lord, help us to stand for you and to trust in you and you alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, and we're closing by singing the doxology.